he's making the comparison of the branches that have been broken off, which is Israel, and the wild olive tree branches being grafted in, which is the church. And you see through many passages in the scripture about fruit and harvest and root. And this has to do with the root. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness, or the strength of the olive tree. Partaking of the root. Verse 18, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. The root's not depending on you, but the root bears you. The importance of the root. And that's what I want to emphasize here tonight as Brother Mike comes to share with us about one God. That oneness message is so, it's not just a doctrinal distinction. It really impacts every area of our walk with God, of our salvation, and of our work for the Lord. And so that's why we're going to take time tonight to see what the Word of the Lord has to say about one God. Now, obviously, such a huge topic, he's not going to be able to cover every aspect of it tonight, but I think it's going to apply powerfully to where we are in God's fruitfulness. God bless you, Brother Mike.
Praise the Lord, everyone. So I've begun going through this, and this was birthed a few weeks ago, I believe. I'd sent my dad a few things I'd come up with, an all-nighter, and so I believe he was wanting me to teach a little bit on that. So as I've been getting into this, just like Pastor Glover said, it's such a huge topic. And it's one that it's missed so often by us because it's spiritually discerned. This comes by revelation, the one God. Jesus is God, Jesus being the mighty God in Christ. It comes by revelation. So I'd like us to pray real quick. I'd like you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And let's set this atmosphere in the right realm for us to begin to talk a little bit about what God showed me. Jesus, I pray revelation would come. I pray it'd be birthed. I pray you would plant the seed in each one of our hearts and our souls, Lord, that we allow it to begin to gain more root into our spirits, and that we gain more understanding, be fruitful, the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name. Sabiaton de bianda shmakoto tebiai.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your great name. Praise your great name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord.
So good to have Kim here. I've been worried about you. It's Body Christ of Sterling. Sherry, I'd like you to go over by Sister Kim. Sister Kim, I just want you to sit there. I don't even want you to pray, okay? Sister Glover, would you go? I'd like the ladies to go pray around Sister Kim, not loudly. Sister Glover or Sister Sherry would be the one that takes the lead. We have to speak in her ear if anyone does. But I'd like us to minister as the Body of Christ of Sterling right now. Sister Kim, in Jesus' name. Man, I want us to join these ladies.
Sabiaton de bishmototebia, hakatan de bishmotoya,
Sister Sherry, I'd like you to pray an angel to go home with her. Give her a ministering angel in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Jesus. Mosa bihatan de biki kon de bishmoko yeata. Sian dosh moto tebia, saki atan de meoto tebia. Sahata ki hundushnuko bihonte beatas, miki otushne. Sando biotus mata de biatan de bias moto yeata de mishmokiatas. Moton de bihaya, sabihoto de mishmiaya. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. In your mighty name.
We love you, Kim. Amen. And I'm dead serious about that ministering angel. I believe this is going to be a season where we're actually working hand in hand with them much more than just believing that they're around us, but actually giving them stuff to do. Why wouldn't God want to do that for you? I really believe this year is going to be a year of that God's just going to honor hunger. It's not going to matter who you are or what your background is. I really believe people that go after God with all their heart this year, and that's worldwide, body of Christ-wide, going to experience wonderful things. It's in this atmosphere of that open door, if you want to call it that, that God's also began to change my thinking as far as even this goes. And it's just it might seem like a simple paradigm shift, but it's been something me and my twin brother have been discussing here the last few days, and it's almost overwhelming. I don't know why, but it makes me emotional. It's the fact that we've approached this one God in the aspect of proving oneness, defending what we believe against the Trinitarian belief. And it's an aspect that every book that's written is proving our side. It has nothing really to do with the God of this book and all the revelation that is waiting in this book to be opened to us in this one God. And God's really, he's been after me, and he's telling me basically this, that forget the Trinitarian belief. Forget defending it, fighting it, or worrying about it. You guys have worried about it so much that you don't even know who I am. We're so scared of Jesus and the Father. We're so scared of dealing with that whole situation that we have no idea what sonship looks like. When we actually have the perfect example in gospel of how to be a son of God and how to walk in sonship, and that stupid Trinitarian belief has taken that from us. It's robbed us, and we're worried about, when we start to speak about it, we're talking about the Father or we're talking about the Son, we need to make sure we clarify. Levi and Rebecca and I were talking about who believes that this is the infallible word of God. So if we really believe that, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, really baptism in Jesus' name, Pastor Glover, has nothing to do with oneness belief. It's the new birth experience. It's this new covenant relationship. So really, all it takes is obedience, seeing it in the Word of God, and applying your faith to the fact that I need to do this. So the fact that Trinitarians don't baptize in Jesus' name shows you how demented their belief is. Seriously, do you need a revelation of one God to be baptized in Jesus' name? No, you don't, because you won't have a full revelation of Jesus until you're walking with him in relationship. And it comes through the Holy Ghost being in that covenant relationship with him. That is why John the Baptist was born with the Holy Ghost. One reason only. So the Holy Ghost could identify to him who Jesus was. Otherwise, he would not have known, because this is spiritually discerned, not in our intellect. And that's where the Trinitarian belief that was placed in and added to this in our belief system has totally taken the viewpoint off of this beautiful, beautiful book here that is all about one God. The whole entire world is about oneness. Do you realize that this earth is rotating how it's rotating by the spoken word of God? And Hebrews 1:3 is defining that as who. You take away the Trinitarian belief, and the oneness is so easy. It's so undeniable. You know what I did, Pastor Glover? All I did was open up Brother Bernard's book and go to the first chapter just so I could grab a couple scriptures so I could just sarcastically prove one God without that backdrop of the Trinitarian belief of separating. Here, let's really get into the person of Jesus. I just went through myself, just through the Bible in John, if I can find it. And I came up with all kinds of names that Jesus said he was. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. The Father, John 10:30, 14:8-9, John 5:43. The Holy Ghost, he was born, the Holy Ghost is his Father, right? So then he was going to send it in his name, John 14:26, John 7:37-39, John 14:16-18. He's the Word, the Lamb of God, living water, Messiah, bread of life, living bread, light of the world, the I Am. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. The Master and Lord, I am the true vine, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, peace, Spirit of truth, King of the Jews, King of Israel. And we're busy proving that there's one God and that we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus and that the apostles baptized in the name of Jesus. And we're stuck at the beginning. How you talked about being fruitful in the knowledge of him. We are stuck at ground zero. I have no flexibility in this arm. That's why I'm stuck at ground zero in our knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is, because we are not even in that right dimension in our thinking to even begin to let him reveal to us in Scripture who he is. All these different aspects, that's just Jesus. And that was just real quickly, I did that today. And that was one book. I kept myself on John. This book is nothing but oneness. So, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. I do this every day with my kids. That's the Shema. I do Deuteronomy 6, or 6, 4 through 9 with my children every night. Sometimes I do the entire Shema prayer. That's what, you know how they do it? Hear, O Israel. The Lord, he is our God, Israel's God. The Lord, he is one. Think about that. That's why they can't accept. They've had that problem accepting Jesus, the Judaism faith. They don't get that understanding because it's you can't figure that out mentally. In fact, so John the Baptist identifies him as the Lamb of God. And he in John 1 he describes, I saw the Spirit in 32 descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. A couple verses later, he goes, behold, the Lamb of God, looking at Jesus. Then later on in verse 3, he begins to describe, talk about Jesus. And he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. But he just went on baptizing. So how are you decreasing, John? What would it be like to be born with the Holy Ghost, never know what the difference was? But then Peter gets that revelation. In Matthew 16. This is the crux right here. Because he asked them, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Or who do men say that I am? And so they said, some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, well, who do you say I am? And he goes, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter says that. And he goes, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Revelation. And if you read down there, he loses it almost as quickly as he got it. It's not really until the Spirit is dwelling in them that the Spirit of truth that's going to lead us all into all truth. We're stuck on new birth. What's all truth? That's where God's wanting us to go. He's wanting us to forget about this doctrine business. We're never going to leave one God, obviously. This whole thing, everything's one God. That's why in meditation they try to get like centered oneness. Everything in this universe is oneness. New birth, the new covenant will never change. But there's truth about who he is. There's revelation about who we are that God is wanting to give us. And we need to let this begin to really talk to us instead of being worried about the whole son-father relationship. Do you think maybe as a father, you see my son Jackson? Notice he's wearing my old military hat because he wants to be just like me. You think maybe God did this whole father-son stuff too? So then we could kind of correlate that to this. And so we could get better understanding of how that whole relationship's working. So let's get comfortable with the fact that Jesus Christ is the vehicle, the ark, however you want to call it, for salvation. It gets us into going through the new birth, death, burial, resurrection is going to be what brings us into the new covenant relationship with God. And we are in the body of Christ, which is this vehicle that is going to bring about the entire ending of everything, the destruction, the final thing being death, destruction of the devil. We're all caught up, and it's forever with him that dissolves. There's no more body of Christ. We're glorified bodies forever with one God. God is a spirit. God is outside of time and space. He is outside of this universe and universes. He created it with his voice. And so how is he gonna come down and relate to us? we'll probably never see all of God. Because even as glorified beings, we wouldn't be able to handle it. I'm gonna know him as Jesus. And so in the Bible, when it talks after the book of Acts or during the book of Acts, when it talks about Jesus, that is what we have stepped into, is this body of Christ, and we are a part of it now. So we don't need to be nervous about when it talks about Jesus Christ and the Father and how they use their words there. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant to the blood of a sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. That's Hebrews 12:24. And 20:21 of Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. 1 Peter, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Through faith unto salvation. We're kept through faith. So we're saved by faith. I've established that hope. I can do it scripturally. Ephesians 2:8, Romans 5. It's faith, grace. That's how we're saved. We don't need to have a revelation of who he is. And then he's going to, each one of us personally, he's going to start us down this road of him revealing himself to us little by little. My little niece. Where's that at, man? My niece Taylor wrote the most incredible explanation of this. This is the process I'm talking about, okay? When God sits in heaven and we are here, she calls this revelation lightning. When God sits in heaven and we are here on this earth, his word can come like lightning, boom, boom, boom. And when it all hits our brain, it is like 1,000 different puzzles that are all mixed together. Our brains are too meager, but with God's help, we can understand all of it. It's called revelation. What a perfect example of how it works. And it is little by little, and it's according to how we interact with God. How hungry we are for God, Thomas. How much time we spend with God. How much time we look in his word. And how pliable we are in his hands. My twin brother has much more revelation of one God than I do because he has spent in scripture, because he has spent years studying this. So when I start talking to him about one God, he's going to start giving me all kinds of types and shadows that are just amazing. And it's because he has spent time with God, and with that revelation flowing into spirit, God has revealed himself in scripture. So that's what he wants to do with all of us. You remember Paul, he was struck blind. This is how simple oneness is. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus." And that's when he actually started to tremble. Because he realized the one he actually really thought he was fighting for was the one he was fighting. And so then he's blind for 3 days. They send Ananias, who helps him with being baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's new birth. So now he's in covenant, right? So in Galatians 1, this is what I'm talking about right here. Verse Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. I thought Ananias led him through. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's more, Thomas. So maybe Paul, you know, when he was writing these letters and he was outlining to us how the kingdom of God works, what the gifts of the Spirit are, how to operate in them correctly, what the fruit of the Spirit are, how the whole warring of lusts of flesh against the Spirit, how that whole thing works, how praying in the Holy Ghost works, when he outlined almost everything government-wise for us in the Bible, do you know he was just really dictating letters to people, to churches? He didn't realize he was actually writing the Bible. He didn't realize that this was actually going to be something that we studied and over years and years received revelation from, and continual revelation, like that peeling of an onion is how it's described, layer after layer after layer. But it was just, this was what he had just learned by revelation. And so he would minister this, and God would confirm it with signs following. How many thousands, 2,000 years ago? Shouldn't we at least be close to his understanding then? Because his Spirit's out there. This is the body of Christ. His anointing is actually out there in the atmosphere. So it seems like we at least be able to access that. Much less that whole added on experience. But we've been too busy with the Trinitarian doctrine, with that whole conflict, that we have not delved into the real aspects of this beautiful, especially in the Gospels, when Jesus came on earth and the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. You know, Thomas, that same Word is the one that speaks to you and gives you words. It's the same Word that became flesh is the one that gives you revelation when you're studying his Word. How powerful is that? That this thing's alive. And so that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he walked as a perfect man. He had all of the Spirit without measure, John the Baptist said. All things were given into his hands. So now we have the fivefold ministry. And this is stuff I'm just learning. I cannot, Greg's the one that gave me that revelation last year. That the fivefold ministry is put in place, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, preachers, pastors, to work together in the body of Christ to do what Jesus did. Realize that. We're going to do greater things as the body of Christ, not by ourselves. When he said, greater things than these shall you do, in John 14, it's the body of Christ. And that's what the fivefold ministry is for the equipping of you, to make it, to give you the ability to go out and do as the body of Christ, whatever you're called to do in this body, to do it to the best of your ability. That's what the fivefold ministry for. It's our gift to the body of Christ. So Pastor Glover is our gift. Not our pastor, he's our gift, a gift to us. But that's whole system right there. And so it's when we're not in the area we're supposed to be, just because we don't even have the revelation of what God wants us to do or what we could be. That's why we're not seeing what we should be seeing. Or maybe that's why when we say something in the name of Jesus, it actually doesn't really happen. Can you guys agree with me that you're going to let this Trinitarian deal go, or do your best to let this go and ask God to just begin to reveal himself to you? Thomas is Mark Morgan preaches that the threefold revelation is when Peter tells Jesus who he is. Jesus turns around and tells Peter who he is. And then he tells him what he's going to do in the kingdom of God. And so that's the whole process of this walk with God and allowing God to work in us and reveal himself to us is we begin to see who he is. He begins to tell us who we are. And then he shows us what we're called to do in the kingdom. And then he empowers us to do it. And that's what this is all about. Who really knows what they're called to do here? I don't feel like I've even begun to touch it. So it's spiritually discerned and it's a process. Sonship. That's what God wants us to walk in, is sonship. And so if we will look in the Gospels, we're going to see, and through the epistles, we're going to see how perfectly God walked, or Jesus was submitted to the Father on earth, the man Christ Jesus. And so that gives us that, it shows us and it leads us. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. The UPC has what they call, I believe they would call it like a test of fellowship. In other words, a doctrinal belief. However you decide that you believe this, it determines whether we will fellowship with you. I found a few tests of sonship. One of them is enduring chastening. That's Hebrews 12, 5 through 3. And then in Hebrews 5, 7 through 9, it talks about Jesus enduring chastening, or the things he suffered. He learned obedience. Then being led by the Spirit, that's Romans 8, 14. That's a test of sonship. And another test of sonship, 2 Corinthians 6, 15 through 18, it's separation from the world. So that's what I'm talking about also, is separating and becoming, allowing ourselves to disappear, being hid with Christ in God, allowing the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost to work through us. Because ultimately, Jesus is called the firstborn of many. Ultimately, Jesus the man, the head of the body of Christ. We're supposed to work with him. Pretty well be brothers and sisters with him. I just feel like... so far behind when it comes to that. One God is, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father, all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. We know all these one God scriptures. But it's time for us to know by relationship experience the Father. That's the dimension of God that I love and has probably changed me the most, is dealing with the Father. Letting him work in my life and spirit and do the work of a Father that's much, much better than my very, very awesome heaven or worldly father, my dad. Such a wonderful Father, he doesn't even compare. Not even close to the Father that God is to me. Letting him walk you through all these different aspects of who he is. Reveal things to you that he probably hasn't told anyone else. And that you can't tell anybody else because they won't believe you. Like he told me, I asked him, he told me, I've said this before. That when David came at Goliath felt fear. Can't prove it. Gives me goosebumps, though. Witness of the Spirit. All the ways God speaks to us, through peace, through the preached word of God, through men and women of God that give you words according to this. He speaks you through, speaks to us through this as we study and pray. Still small voice, impressions, all those different aspects. He's wanting to open that up to us this year more. I want to know who Jesus is. I want to experience the Father. We have that Holy Ghost inside of us. And then there's so many other aspects of that. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's John 12:24. He goes down to verse 27. This is Jesus, the man, fully man, fully God. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Then he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That's that fully completed work. Verse 41, these things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him. Think about that, Pastor Glover. When he saw his glory, was that Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, or was it when he saw his train fill the temple? You know, in John, 1 John, I think it's 1 John 1, 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Our hands have handled. How intimate is that, Brother Norm? He's talking about the one that he'd put his head on his chest. The propitiation, it goes on to say, for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's why he came. You know, he came because God's so righteous. When Adam and Eve screwed up and sinned after God had given them dominion over everything, Adam didn't speak any kind of a word of authority. We still screw that up, by the way. You know, you have dominion over every unclean spirit. You don't have to be afraid of any demonic spirit, but if you don't exercise it, they don't have to listen. And if you listen, it's going to turn out the same, most likely. He bore the punishment. Like, he literally came and just got beat to where you couldn't even recognize his face. His back was like a plowed field. Unrecognizable, to take away, to fully, once and for all, pay the price for our sin. That's why Jesus came. into this world. And he is the firstborn of this body of Christ. He's the head, and he's wanting to reveal himself to every one of us in spirit, in truth, revelation, manifestation, and he's wanting to work through us. But we don't know who we are until we are in relationship with him so he can tell us who we are, show us what he wants us to do, empower us to do it. I don't say anything but what the Father says, tells me to say. I don't know how many times he said that in Scripture. That's what I want to be, that conduit that just speaks what the Father's wanting me to say at that moment to whoever I'm ministering to. I've been praying a miracle over my mind that I would have his mind, that how he thinks about me would be how I would think about me, how he sees me in ministry, or how he sees me, the what he's given me in ministry would be how I would view my ministry. And I would go from that level of faith, not my own, that he had stretched my capacity. Miracle over my eyes and all these different aspects, because I just feel robbed, Pastor Glover. I feel robbed because for the majority of my life, number one, I wasn't living for God. But then once I have been living for God, it's really been about, sure, relationship with him, and great relationship with him in prayer, and in him renewing my mind, and him getting me into from being a backslider who counted himself out to being someone that would actually be able to minister, and then actually be able to minister very powerfully at times and have armies of angels that come with me and Megan. But my understanding of him has been all about defensive fighting, defending the fact that we're oneness, the Bible's oneness, that there's only one God, and not the Trinitarian belief that's basically one God also. They can't even define what they believe. And so because of that, I haven't ignored it to really allow this to become here. And so then I could more and more, because that's the whole oneness of God, is he's wanting to become one with us, to get us in alignment perfectly with him so that we begin to disappear, ourselves disappear, and we become Christ-like. To where we can love with his love, forgive, which is impossible for humans to do without the Spirit, with his forgiveness, and we can show the world Jesus through us. Then he's wanting to do that with us in the body of Christ, like we did with Sister Kim. And have the body of Christ working together in love, not competition, not envy, not all the different aspects of human nature that get in the way, especially now, being against authority, unity being a non-entity now in America, all those different aspects that don't need to be in the church. But having the fruit of the Spirit, all this combined. And then he wants to do it in our marriage also. That whole, the mystery of Christ in the church, the bride of Christ, and God. None of those we can measure up to. I'd never seen it before. 1 Corinthians 6, or 9, 6, I believe. Yes, 9, 5. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife? That whole sister-wife principle. Do you treat your wife like you treat sisters in the church? Who do you show more respect for? Good question to ask, husbands. I ask myself that, and it's a pretty sobering question. So treating our wives first like a sister in the church, in the body of Christ. That's what she is. Then she's a wife. God's wanting to bring oneness about to all of these aspects, to model how the authority structure works in a home, the way it works in a church. Oneness. Everything is one. We are one. His prayer, that beautiful prayer, John 17, you should read it. How many times he talks about you and me and you, I and them, thou and me. The And he ends it with, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Revelations 1 and 5 through 8, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead. You know, he said he could raise himself up again in John 10. First begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, prince of peace, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests unto God, or a kingdom of priests, and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. 17 and 18 of 1. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. So who's talking? And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and death. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. They forgot that part. Pastor Glover noted at the end of Revelations 22, surely I am coming quickly. And it goes through all, I'm the root and the offspring of David, bright and morning star, spirit of the bride, say come. This is so easy to understand when you step outside of the Trinity doctrine or that whole debate. One God is so easy. So let's move past that. Let's move past new birth. Let's move past, like Hebrews 6 says, it's time for us to grow up. You shouldn't be drinking milk anymore. Let's move beyond this, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands. That's it. So another wonderful revelation of impartation and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. He says that after he says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This kind of knowledge here, scripture knowledge, you can learn scripture knowledge. But until it gets into our spirits and into our who we are and begins to shape who we are, becomes our doctrine, my doctrine. It's not going to have the same powerful effect that it does when it's in us, and it is us. It's coming through us, with authority and power. And that's when we can pray angels to people. And that's when we can walk in the Spirit and be used to be a conduit vessel for God to use and be strengthened in the body of Christ. Oneness. Can we move beyond new birth? Can we move beyond proving that there is one God? There is only one God. I mean, that is so clear. Even an idiot could understand it. That's why it's so clear. It's the smart people that can't. And it's going to come through experience. So like I say, there's an open door. I don't know how to describe that good enough with the Trinity doctrine. But moving beyond that argument, can we move beyond proving we're right to actually knowing, allowing God to teach us how to live in sonship, walk in sonship, Instead of proving we're right and not having power, I'd rather have power. Forget arguing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, He is my God. That's how I say it. The Lord, He is one. I say that every night before I go to bed. Because He's my God. But there is only one. He's your God. There's only one. There's one God. That's what brings so much power. Jesus. His name's Jesus. Pastor Glover.
Thank the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Moses had exposure to multiple deities. Being a part of Egypt's culture, Egypt's civilization. Goodness, they worshipped everything. Things that were animated and inanimated. The Nile to the sun to cats to all kinds of things. But he never forgot what his mother Jochebed taught him. And when he beheld that burning bush, and he heard the voice declare, I am that I am. It was not a puzzle to him. It was not a, what? Can you say that differently? No. It sunk through his head into his heart and into his hands where he could do a powerful work for God, one God. Let's just love the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, praise your name, praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, oh God, oh God, I praise you. I praise you, I praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. What a powerful revelation. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Incredible light. The light that He spoke into existence. The light that He came to be. And the light that He desires to have shine through you into a world that is in darkness. One God. Amen. And it's true, Brother Mike, you hear on the radio, you hear different presentations of God. And when they are presenting the word of the Lord, very obvious. They're proclaiming one God. And then, generally at the end, they'll switch to a doctrine that began in the 4th century, not in the Word of God. It began in the 4th century. Well, what does that mean to us? You know, what does one God mean to us? Oh, my. I hope it means power. I hope it means unity. I hope it means God working through you. Amen. Let me just share here one verse of Scripture, one passage of Scripture. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. It's the work that the Lord was doing. and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. By that understanding of who Jesus is and the power that God revealed, you take the message. You be the messenger. You be the ambassador. And the power of that one God and the revelation works through you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. One God. How incredible. How amazing. And you're right. There's no need to be defensive about it. The whole Word of God explains it. There's no need to be backed into a corner and worry, oh, how do I present it? How do I say it? Praise God. We stick with the Word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a chorus here tonight. Praise God.